Allah Rahman Rahim. We're all together here, inshallah. You all good? All fed, everyone prayed namaz, we're good, we're refreshed. Some new faces, welcome. Welcome, thank you. We're going to talk a little bit about akhlaq today in this session. Okay? This is our last session with you in the camp. And I want to make sure that we leave with some sort of a program for you guys to be good, balanced individuals. What is akhlaq, first of all? Who knows? Not you? Not me, he says. Okay. What is akhlaq? Yes? You're what? You don't know. What's akhlaq? Is your hand up? No. Let's wait. What does the word akhlaq mean, guys? Anybody know? Yes? Your religion? Okay, what else? Manners? It's more of a behavior. Yes, sorry. Never mind. Okay. Akhlaq is behavior. Your parents, good.
I was going to say your parents, and also when you go a little bit older, you can read it from Quran.
Good, excellent. What else? How do you know how to behave? What else? Anything else? Who teaches you how to behave?
Your parents.
Okay.
Teachers.
Your teachers. Good.
Grandparents.
Grandparents. Good old grandparents. May God bless them. Okay, those are all great answers. Do we actually learn our behavior from these four sources? Does everything our parents tell us to do, we do? If only it was like that. They'd be so happy right now. So the role of these four sources, your parents, grandparents, Quran, role models, teach, and there's many, many more. Your friends, your society, the Ahlul Bayt, the prophets, they all teach us how to behave properly. All of them are after one thing, and that is that you are the best of people in your society. People should know you as somebody who is honest and caring and giving and generous and sincere. Not somebody who's always lying and somebody who's backbiting and somebody who you can't trust and somebody who's always mean and angry, never smiles, all these things. Yes?
Sometimes you can learn it from your environment.
True. And sometimes you can learn how not to be from your environment as well, right? Yeah. Good answer. You're all in with that. Is behavior created by doing something once? I know these are tough questions, but you guys can handle it. Yes?
No.
So how do you create behavior?
You probably learn from experiences.
Okay. So if your parents tell you to do one thing, let's say they say every time you enter a hall, if you see anybody older than you, you go up there and say assalamu alaikum and shake their hand and ask them how they are. If you do that once, is that known as behavior? No? What do you do?
It has to be repetitive.
Repetitive. Yeah, it's got to be repetitive. I don't want to lose anybody here. The word akhlaq itself in Arabic comes from something called khulq. Khulq is known as disposition. Disposition means that something you do without thinking about it, it's part of your disposition. Okay? And you achieve this idea of disposition with repetition. And with importance, giving it importance. When I was a kid growing up, and my mom still does this to me, even though now I'm a father myself, she tells me every time I enter a room to go say salam to this person, and that person, and that person, and that person. Or she asks me, did you say salam to this person? Did you say salam to that person? I said, yes, mom, I did. It's that repetition, it's that constant improvement, it's that constant importance you have to give. And that's how behavior is created. So if you want to be somebody who is khush akhlaq, who is a person who's good behavior, someone who has great akhlaq, you have to repeat constantly these great things. So far, so good? Okay? So if your parents are asking you to do something every single day, there's a reason behind it. Don't get frustrated. Don't get annoyed. Oh, come on, mom. None of that. All of that has to be a reason. They want you to be the best behaved Muslim out there. Because that should be our identity, is our behavior. Especially, since there are people out there who don't know how Muslims should be, and their source of knowledge is something else. So they see us as somebody who we are not, actually. It's up to us, you and I, to change that perception, inshallah. So far, so good? Okay. Here comes the tough part. There are stages of akhlaq. And my parents in the audience, it's a good lesson for all of us, inshallah. The first basic stage of akhlaq is to not wrong anyone. Basic first stage of akhlaq. Okay? So the idea of what that means is to not be a bad person to anybody. Okay? You're not lying to people, you're not stealing from them, you're not being a bully to them, you're not name calling, you're not backbiting about them, making fun of them, all these things. You're not wronging anybody. Okay? That's the easy part. It gets tougher as we go on the stages. Be patient when someone wrongs you. A lot of you guys, I was very happy, even yesterday and today, when you're faced with a bully or you're faced with people who are, insulting you, a lot of you said that I would walk away. I wouldn't respond. It's a good answer. It's a good answer. It's one thing to not wrong anybody. It's one thing where you're patient when you are wronged yourself. Of course, at this age, as you guys get older, there are certain situations where you have to speak out against what you believe in. And that's fine. But right now, it's important at this age to be patient when someone wrongs you. Inshallah, when you guys get older, you'll learn about those things, that sometimes being quiet is not what's called for. We have to speak out sometimes. Number three is even more harder. Forgiving those who have wronged us. It's one thing to be patient. It's one thing where the person who has, let's say, been a bully your entire school year comes to you and says, look, I'm sorry about what happened. And now you have an opportunity to seek revenge on the person. But instead, what do? You forgive that person. It's a very difficult thing to do. To my parents, I mean, some beautiful traditions we have from Amirul Mu'mineen that said, you know, ultimate mercy is that when you have the power to avenge the wrong that your enemy did and you choose not to avenge or revenge that good deed and you choose to forgive that enemy of yours, it's the ultimate mercy. When the Holy Prophet conquered Mecca after 8 years, the first thing he announced was that Abu Sufyan, It's okay. I did it myself yesterday, don't worry about it. That Abu Sufyan and his family are safe from any sort of harm from our movement. He was a staunch enemy of the Holy Prophet, made his life a living hell. But he announced that we are not going to cause him any harm. Thank you. Okay, so if somebody has teased you, bullied you, and they come to you asking for forgiveness, forgive them, inshallah. Allah will look at that and He'll reward you for that, inshallah. The last stage is the hardest stage. If we're able to apply this last stage of akhlaq, then our communities would be in a different state altogether. Replying to someone who has done wrong to you by doing good with them. It takes a very special person to do that. Someone comes to you in school, let's say, and they've been bad with you. They haven't been a good friend to you. But now all of a sudden they need you to do something for them. You show your goodness and do that for that person. Show that person that there's a difference between me and you. You're like that, I'm like this. Nothing you do will affect my akhlaq. Not only are you preserving your akhlaq, you're showing the person in front of you how to be, inshallah. And that's what we need. We don't have enough humans in our society left anymore, inshallah. It's a lesson for all of us, actually, young and old. You know, grudges and holding on to these things and, you know, because she did that, I'm going to do this. Because he said that, I'll say this. It'll get us nowhere. There's got to be a difference between you and the person in front of you. Otherwise, all you are is a reflection of the person in front of you. And that's no good. We have enough reflections. We need more mirrors. Okay? And we have, it's not like we don't have any examples. We have plenty of examples in front of us. The famous story of our second Imam, Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, is in front of us. A person approaches our second Imam in Medina and says, I've heard about your family. Your family is this, your family is that, and begins to insult Imam Hassan's family. His mother, his father, his grandfather, his brothers, everybody, one by one. And Imam Hassan just stood there and quietly listened to what he was saying. After this guy was done his rant and all that, he asked the guy, are you not from Medina? Are you a foreigner? Are you a traveler? He says, yeah, I'm not from Medina. He says, do you have a place to stay? Have you had dinner yet, lunch yet? So here was a guy who was insulting Imam Hassan, and he in turn was responding by saying, why don't you come to my house, and I'll feed you, I'll give you shelter, I'll give you a room to stay in. And the person immediately realized that what I heard about you was wrong. It was all lies. No, he knew that he was Imam Hassan. He was just told by whoever that this person was like this. It was false propaganda. They were truthful individuals, the Ahlabayt. Muhammad the Amin we have, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The idea that, as I mentioned yesterday in one of the speeches, one thing that they couldn't, when I say they, I mean the enemies of Islam, people who were against the message of the Holy Prophet, they kept saying that, you know, this is Muhammad the Amin. He was truthful. He never lied. How can we now convince people around us that what he's talking about one God and him being the prophet is a lie at the age of 40? When he had the chances to lie and to make money, he didn't. Now at 40 he's going to lie? We can't compete with that. So the Prophet's truthfulness was one of the reasons why Islam spread so quickly at that moment and during those days. Okay? Yeah. So your parents ask you what's going on, what did you do? Just be truthful and say, yeah, mommy and daddy, I did this. It's funny, you know, you guys are a little bit older now, but at very, very young ages, and parents who have young kids, if you remember this, there comes a stage in a kid's life where they test the waters of lying. It's psychology. They want to see how far they can get. And sometimes it's attention seeker. So my daughter, who's 5 years old now, she's in school, she's in senior kindergarten. She told the entire school that my wife was in the hospital. She's perfectly healthy, alhamdulillah. And the entire school read Amma Yujib for my wife after namaz. And when I went to go pick up my daughter, they asked me, what's wrong? Is your wife okay? I'm like, yeah, she's fine. What's the problem? Oh, we had Amma Yujib for her. I'm looking at Misbah, and she had this look on my face like, was that wrong? Is that okay? Can I get away with that? I mean, and that's it's a little bit of the creative nature of the kid coming through, but you have to contain it. Be very careful. Okay, yeah. My wife was more upset not the fact that she told the school that she was sick. She was more upset that people didn't call her to ask her how she was feeling. She says, "Nobody asked me how I was feeling. You're not sick." very patient imams we had. We still have very patient imams. When you guys have siblings and you guys have siblings and you guys want to share your toys or this happened and that happened and your parents always tell you, just be patient, just wait till he's finished or she's finished, you got to show your parents that you're patient. Okay? It's one of the traits, one of the skills, one of the akhlaq of the Ahlul Bayt. They were very patient people. Okay, and your parents will reward that patience, inshallah. They were very brave. Didn't back down. Like I said, weren't intimidated. Were very strong in their beliefs. Someone comes to you and asks you, why do you wear hijab? You should have a nice, straightforward answer. Sorry?
You could say, like, why don't you?
Why don't you wear hijab? Yeah, no, don't say that. But I would explain to them why you wear hijab. Yes? Yeah, exactly. What if for them hijab isn't? Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's what I'm saying. Do not tell them that you should wear hijab, but explain the modesty, the humbleness, all that kind of stuff. And these guys know. The point is, do not be fearful of anybody. Be brave. They were knowledgeable people. Knowledgeable people. You know, yesterday with the older group, we talked about the idea of knowing what Allah wants from you at your stage in your life. It's very, very difficult to understand, what does God want from me? Okay? At this stage, one of the things that God wants from you is for you guys to be the best students possible. We need educated individuals. We need you guys to have good grades. There are people out there and there are parents out there who are investing in your education. Okay? And all they want you to do is just be good students. Okay? There are people who are working towards Islamic schools. There are people who are donating large amounts of money. There are people who are putting forth all their extra time so you guys can have a good school to go to. And your response, your thank you to all these people is to what? It's to be the best student out there. Right? So people can say, you know what, I have a Muslim, a girl in my class, and she always gets straight A's in everything that she does. It's good for the deen, it's good for you, and it's good for the community in general, inshallah. What I want you guys to strive for is being the best at everything that you do. People will look up to you. People will start to respect you. People will see you as a leader. People want to be like you. So if you're grading in your class, you're getting good grades, you're a good athlete too. You're the best ball player, the best football player, the best whatever player in school. Well-rounded individuals, right? Balanced individuals. Right? Who know to have fun when they need to have fun, and people who study when they study as well. Right? So aim for that. Shoot for that. Be the best dressed in school. Always have the best clothes on. You know, be the best behaved. All these things are things that are a picture of what a Muslim should look like. Okay, your parents want the exact same thing for all of you. So when they ask you to do something, just listen to them. They know what's best for you. They want you to be the best running person out there. The toughest class is always after lunch, right? Lots of yawning and lots of tiredness. The mission of the Ahlul Bayt is to instill humanity inside of us, to make us the best people possible. The Prophet of Allah says that I came to perfect your akhlaq. The Prophet of Allah came at a time when there was immense ignorance in society. You guys know that, right? People used to worship idols. People used to create idols out of food. Used to pray to that idol and eat that idol for dinner, for example. That's how ignorant they were. Yeah. Yes.
I thought idols were statues.
Idols are statues sometimes. Some, go ahead.
So then why did they say, that idols are food?
No, sometimes they would make their own statue out of food because they had nothing else to make.
They would eat them?
They would eat them, yeah.
Stones?
Stones. No, they would.
Would they worship them?
They would what? They would worship them and eat them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once a meteor landed on Earth and people started praying it because they got
Yeah, there's lots of that. You look at you look at Prophet Ibrahim, for example. There were people who used to worship the sun and the moon and the stars, right? And so that was the mission of the prophets, to move them away from all that and realize that there's only one God. But today is no different, mind you. Don't think that today is any different. We still have people who worship idols today. They're just different idols. That's all. Yeah. Okay, we have 5 minutes left in our last session. This was the summary, the khulasa of what we tried to achieve with this young group this past weekend. Three critical things you guys need to do in the summer now that you guys are off school. Number one is manage and balance your time carefully. Right? We talked about that in terms of being creating a schedule. We actually went through an activity yesterday where you guys wrote down what you guys do on a daily basis. Okay? And then we gave you certain hours for every activity yesterday, if you remember. How much time to spend sleeping, how much time spending playing and riding your bike and watching TV, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Doesn't mean that because you're off school that your schedule goes out the window. No. You have to be very, very balanced and manage your time properly. You can get a lot done if you want to. And your parents will help you with that, inshallah. Number two, the session we had in the morning was all about choosing your friends carefully. Making sure the people around you are people who will help you on this path and not pull you away from the path. Okay? And finally, this one was about akhlaq, being the best behaved Muslim out there. Sorry? Yeah. Okay? Are there questions at all? Parents, any? Yes. That's okay.
Yeah. You know how if we were still here and Shaitan hadn't said that he wants to go make people do bad things, would we still have like this test thing because we would still have feelings, right?
Yes. So our test in this world isn't only based on Shaitan. Shaitan's part of the test, but the test is from Allah. If Shaitan wasn't here or not, we'd still be through the test, yeah. Good question. Yeah. Anybody else? Parents, do you have any questions, remarks, concerns? No? So if you can assist your kids this summer by doing these three, that would be great. As long as they also will help you in listening to you, inshallah, and taking your advice, etc., etc. Okay? Thorab, you guys are good? Okay. Okay, thank you very much, guys. Keep us in your du'as, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.